Blog Talk Radio.
It's Mr. FSP. I'm sitting in for your host, who is normally here during this time, which is Jerry ATM Taylor. He's indisposed. I guess he's running from police or something like that, because he, along with many of you out there in the world, predicted that Ohio State would beat Kansas. I, on the other hand, stated Kansas would win the game. So we're going to talk today, in abbreviated version of the master plan, a 30-minute version of the master plan, about the Final Four and how both games were extremely good. It actually showcased, in my opinion, the four best teams in the nation. Also, today is Palm Sunday. So if you're religious, or if you go to church, and you know some people only go to church on one time a year, and that's Easter. And I'm not getting on nobody, because I might be doing that same thing next week, but it won't be my last or first time going to church during the year, so I can't label myself in that group. But we're going to talk a little bit about some things going on in the world. Like I said, it's going to be an abbreviated version of the master plan. I have a lot of things I want to get into, so I'm going to jump right into it. The first thing I want to talk about is the basketball games. I mean, let's be honest now. Kentucky Kentucky playing Louisville, that was an outstanding game. You got to think about it like this. If one state had two teams represented in the Final Four, University of Kentucky as well as Louisville Cardinals, they're coming out the Big East and I believe the SEC. So when you look at those two teams, you say, well, UK should just trounce them. But Louisville actually gave up a good fight. The final score isn't actually indicative of how the game was played, because it ended up being somewhat of a it was 9 points. Yeah, I guess you could consider 9 points a blowout. But it ended up being a game that saw ups and downs, and Louisville, with a shorter team, getting more offensive rebounds and hitting the boards more. So I'm thinking, well, you know what? That might not bode well for Kentucky, but it did. Kentucky found a way to get Davis and some other folks involved, and, you know, the Wildcats came out with a victory. Now, there's some stuff going on down in Kentucky right now as far as mayhem and stuff like that, but let's hear from a police chief or lieutenant in Kentucky on some of these issues that are going on in the state.
A massive fireball in the middle of State Street, an overturned car set ablaze as crazed Kentucky fans go wild in the streets of Lexington, rioting after their team wins passage to the NCAA Finals. One eyewitness described the scene as a car-to-car battle, cops trying to push college kids off one car and the kids scurrying to try to flip another one.
So, you know, the teams are very, very well-known and well-liked, and if the Kentucky fans did that in a victory, I can imagine what the Louisville fans did in a defeat. There are some reports that some police officers were hurt, and there are some reports that there was pandemonium and chaos in Louisville. And, you you know, you got to look at it from this standpoint. College sports, any sport, it can be lacrosse, it can be hockey, it can be soccer, whatever. College sports has the most rabid fan base, mainly because a lot of these schools don't have a national team in the professional ranks. The NFL only has 32 teams in 32 markets, and, you know, University of Alabama, you know, that's it. University of Alabama. You've got Auburn in that area, but there is no professional team there. So when these kids and mostly adults go out and see their teams do well or do poorly, they go out and destroy stuff. I mean, good or bad, they destroy stuff. And I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I just think that some of these kids need to realize one day you're going to be, you know, a boss, or you're going to be a parent, and you're like, don't do that, and your kid's going to do it because you did it. But anyway, I want to congratulate the University of Kentucky because I have them in my championship game in my brackets. Also, Kansas came back from a big deficit and won the game versus Ohio State by 2 points. I'm going to let you hear Sullinger from Ohio State, speak on that.
It hurts, but at the same time, if you look at this team a month ago, people like y'all would say we wasn't good enough to get here. So I'm proud of these guys and everything they overcome.
Now, earlier in the year, Kansas beat Ohio State. Ohio State without Sullinger. And this time he played, and it showed that his leadership on the court was evident. Apparently, you've got players that, you know, took it for granted. Now, will this make an easy game for Kansas and Kentucky on Monday night? I don't think so, because Kansas has Thomas. This young kid, Thomas, he cannot take on Kentucky by himself. But he, in my opinion, is pro-ready. He's pro-ready. Maybe because I have a bias because I'm from D.C., but this kid is the total package. He can handle the ball. He can get offensive. He's an offensive board machine. Of course, he can get defensive rebounds and stuff like that, and he can score. He can make his own shot. Now, if you listen to the FSP show on Saturday, one of the co-hosts, Black, he likes to talk about how the kid, not Davis, but number three, I believe, or number four for Kentucky, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, is more ready than Thomas. And I gotta debate that because I've seen the ball handling skills of both. I've seen the impact of both. And Thomas is more ready to be that big man down low than the kid out of Kentucky. Now, Davis is a tall, lanky guy. Good player, excellent college player. But once he starts playing the guys that are his same height, about 6'8", 6'9", 250, 260 pounds, and he has to body. Matter of fact, when he plays against Kansas, he's going to have to face Thomas. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, wither under that type of pressure because, of course, Kentucky's played a lot of big teams, and they've done well. But Davis is very lanky. I don't know if he'll be able to body up Thomas. They might not even do that. They might put the other kid, number three, for Kentucky on Thomas because they both have the same type of body frame and the same type of game. But Davis, again, the kid had seven block shots, and he altered about five shots, meaning he was the reason why a shot didn't go in or he caused some type of disruption. And the kid gets boards, and the kid, he can score. Now, everybody focuses on him. But I believe that the actual linchpin to Kentucky is Child Gilchrist and Lamb. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that. Those two drive the engine of Kentucky. Without both of them or one of them on the court, Kentucky's another Kansas. And it could call for a close game. But let's listen to Bill Self on, you know, having a close game versus Ohio State and how his team, the Jayhawks, you know, match up versus anybody in a close game.
Ohio State's obviously terrific, and they controlled the game, you know, the first half for sure and part of the second half. But, you know, after we got it down to, you know, under six or four, these guys have been in so many close games. They just have so much confidence. They just stepped up and made plays.
Now, again, this Kansas team, Kansas has been known to be a rebounding team. I mean, you can look at two teams in college basketball and say, if anything, they're going to get boards. Michigan State and Kansas. They always find those big 6'9", 6'10", 7-footers that are big bodies and get boards. And there's no exception. And when you have those types of players, you're going to make it to the Sweet 16. You're going to make it to the Elite Eight. Unfortunately, Louisville beat Michigan State in the Elite Eight, and Michigan State didn't make it to the Final Four. But they're always going to be a contender when you have young freshmen and sophomores that are going to stay and not be one and done. Then you've got a great makeup for a great team. Now, Kentucky will retool. They'll retool after Davis leaves, after the other forward leaves, after Child Gilchrist leaves, after Lamb leaves. They're going to retool. Calipari is probably the master at finding these kids and getting them to come and play in college for a year instead of entering the draft. Now, some of these kids might decide to stay a year or two, just to, you know, because they know Davis is going to be obviously the number one pick, according to a lot of sources in the draft. So only money that is guaranteed is first round. Second round, you're not guaranteed. You can get cut. And it's only two rounds that the NBA drafts. Now, granted, Charles Barkley and many other people say that Kentucky is an NBA franchise in its own. It can beat a lot of teams in the NBA right now, and I can agree. I can agree. But all five starters, it's conceivable that all five starters in Kentucky's lineup can be picked in this year's NBA draft if they all declare, and they all would be good players. I just think that's the case. Now, does it mean that that they're going to stay or they're going to leave? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that they have a very good team. Thomas Robinson of Kansas, D.C., native, had real serious issues within a span of 29 days. His mother, his grandmother, and grandfather passed away this past year, or last year, I believe. It just in a span of 29 days, and his little sister ended up being taken care of by her biological father, which is not his father. But this kid, to me, is a monster. He's a monster. Kansas flows their offense through him. Now, he's one of those guys that you can say, well, you know, you take him off of Kansas' team, they've got to rebuild and they've got to, you know, get a little more depth. But they always find people that can get boards, always. At one point, Ohio led in the first quarter 30-19. I know some people say 11 points, okay, so gotta have, but 11 points is pretty big when you're going against teams such as Ohio State, Michigan State, and stuff like that. And they found a way to come back and win the game. Like Herm Edwards said, says, you play to win the game. I mean, how else do you look at it? You know, and here's a soundbite on how to guard Thomas Robinson.
My eyes, college player of the year. I know some think different, but, I mean, with his season and the way he took his team to the top, you just got to give it to him. And then, I mean, like I say, he plays hard, plays smart, strong, physical, quick, athletic. He deserves everything that's coming his way with everything that happened to him. And, I mean, he's a good guy.
Now, that was Davis who actually won the College Player of the Year, saying that Thomas Robinson is actually that type of player. He's, in his eyes, the best player in college basketball. And with everything that has happened to him, he does deserve a break. I mean, I'm not being biased because he's from the D.C. area and I'm, you know, a D.C. native, but this kid is a beast. If you shut down Robinson, you shut down Kansas. I mean, that's the bottom line. You shut down Davis, then you got to worry about the other kid. I can't remember his name to save my life. In Kentucky. But then you got to think about Gilchrist, Childs Gilchrist, and you got to think about Lamb. There's too many weapons to shut down in Kentucky right now. Kansas, I love them. But in my opinion, I think Kansas is going to lose to Kentucky for the national championship game in what I think will not be a close game. I don't think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a Baylor-type game where Baylor came out and they were very hot the first, 5 minutes of the game, and then Kentucky poured it on. They poured it on. One man cannot defeat an entire team of great players. Okay, one man can beat a team. I mean, Jordan did it before Pippen came there, but, you know, he didn't win any championships. But one man, and I'm talking about Thomas Robinson, cannot defeat the machine of Kentucky by himself. He needs help. Will he get it Monday night? I don't know. But my brackets are looking pretty good. I hope your brackets are too. I was giving away a $25 Visa gift card to the winner of the brackets that I have on Yahoo. And I'm not in the chase for the money or for the gift card, but I'm proud to say that one of my co-hosts, the host of this show, Jerry ATM Taylor, is right up there in the top. And hopefully he'll win the gift card so I don't have to send it out to somebody I don't know. But, you know, Kansas and Kentucky, I predicted it at the beginning of the brackets. Actually, I did Kentucky and North Carolina, but I said if any other team were to win, it would be Kansas. So you can go back, check the archives on our shows that we do, Saturday, Sunday, and Thursday show. You'll hear me say that. But two exciting games between four of the nation's best teams. I mean, like they said once they announced the brackets on Bracket Sunday or Selection Sunday, they got it right. The committee got it right this year. The top teams that made it through, they did what they were supposed to do. There were a few upsets. There were a few, but you got to expect that when you deal with college basketball. Not everybody plays the same amount of teams or the same caliber of teams during a season. You've got your quote-unquote cupcakes, and you've got your semi-pro basketball teams or colleges. So, you know, you got to look at it in the manner of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, because In college basketball and college sports in general, the fans drive the sport, and when the fans are able to pay, you know, X amount of dollars to go see their college play, sponsors are going to jump on that. And then the kids go out, they go back home, and they tear up the city, and then somebody's got to pay for that. And college sports drives a lot of economic revenue, whether it's the sports, whether it's the merchandising, or in this case, the cleaning up in Kentucky. Because either way, there's going to be issues. If Louisville won, certain parts of Kentucky were going to riot and have issues. So you got to look at it with the eyes of an economist. College sports makes money hand over fist. It's more powerful and more lucrative than professional sports. The Final Four has everyone captivated, not just for one day like the Super Bowl, not just for seven games like, up to seven games like hockey and professional basketball. They have two tournaments going on at the same time, the NIT and the national championship brackets. Endless amount of entertainment, endless amount of revenue going on at one time in a two-week span. Think about that. Just think about the money and the economics that goes on there. Way too much. And like Jerry says,
absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
So college sports, yeah, it's corrupted. I don't care what you tell me. Money drives everything, and you can tell by the fans that came from Kansas, the fans that came from Kentucky, Louisville, and Ohio State, just to New Orleans, they travel. And why do you think in certain football situations or college football situations, the Boise States of the world don't get to play in the national championship game? Boise State only holds 35,000 people. Their stadium only houses 35,000 people. They can get a sellout pretty much all the time. But if you take that same group of individuals, about half of that will travel to, let's say, Louisiana for a national championship game. Think about it. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's what it is. But let's switch topics real quick. I want to get to Lynn Sanity. Jeremy Lin played in the D League and, you know, got promoted to the big boy ranks, I want to say, of the NBA. Came in while Carmelo Anthony was hurt and Stoudemire, Damian Stoudemire. Oh my goodness, shows you how old I am, right? But he came in and he took over. They went on a winning streak. Of course, the teams they played, the caliber teams they played, weren't all that good. Some were, but most weren't. And now Mr. Lin is going to require surgery. So that means Lin Sanity goes on the bench for about 6 weeks, up to 6 weeks, and he may come back for the playoff push. But that means you're back to the Knicks without him, Baron Davis, Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire. I mean, when Amari gets healthy again, Tyson Chandler. You have a team in New York that's barely holding on to the last NBA playoff spot, and without the linchpin of Lin, Jeremy Lin, can they do it? Can they hold on to that spot, or can they get further without him? I mean, it's coming close. But let's hear about Jeremy Lin getting this surgery and why he needs to get it now rather than later.
Can't really do much, can't really cut or jump, so it's pretty clear that I won't be able to help the team unless I get this fixed right now. And hopefully it's a six-week rehab process, but I tend to heal fast, so hopefully I can come back as soon as possible and still contribute this season.
That's Jeremy Lin on his status. You got to think about it. You know, what happens when this kid comes back? Will the Knicks be in contention? Will they be able to go ahead and advance? And when he comes back, whose time gets cut down? Baron Davis? I mean, he's often injured, so it's a possibility. I don't know. But Jeremy Lin is a very special talent that, you know, you never can. And he went to Harvard, graduated, you know, wasn't the best player, wasn't even considered a good player by his coach, but sees the moment that he had or the opportunities that he had and became a household name. If he was playing for Milwaukee, I don't think he would have this type of love. But in New York and the famed Knicks, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So think about it like this. Jeremy Lin comes to New York, takes over because the team needed some type of spark, gets him on a roll, gets an endorsement deal with Nike, has a couple things going on, gets the limelight, and the team becomes marketable again. You get sellouts. You get sellouts in the garden. We'll see. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to end this show. As I said before at the top, it's an abbreviated version of the master plan. It's only 30 minutes long. I want to give a big shout-out to a friend of mine or an associate of mine in Mike Knox or Mike Pierman, however you want to call him. He's down in Miami doing the WrestleMania thing. I think he's going to broadcast live when he does his show from WrestleMania, or he's going to do a call-in from WrestleMania. And all those guys down there, so I want to give them a bunch of love. And hopefully he comes out and he drops back and comes and talks to us a little bit about his experience, because I'm seeing all these pictures on Facebook of what he's been doing and having a good time. I want to go to a WrestleMania now that I saw what he went to and the whole extravaganza of it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But let's promo every show we have. Again, this upcoming Tuesday at 4:30 or 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Kim Fun returns from her trip to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. She's returning. It was a two-week process. She went up, placed 108 wishes or things by each individual that they wanted on top of Mount Kilimanjaro, and she came back down, and she should have her show ready to go on Tuesday. I'm going to check with her and make sure it's up and running. On Thursday, we're going to have Black the Bookie. We're going to have Jeff the Joker, as well as the ATM, Jerry Taylor, the normal host of The Master Plan. He's going to be the host for the FSP Crew Show on Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this week, I know Black is trying to get the a hold of the individual that won the Mega Millions in the Maryland area. Says it's a friend of his. We'll see what happens. He's probably joking, but you never know. Also, on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you've got Fantasy Sports and Politics, FSP, that would be me, and Jerry, he's the co-host with me. And we're going to talk about the week of sports. We're going to talk about the NCAA championship. We're going to talk about the upcoming draft. We're going to talk about a lot of different things that are going on in the world of sports and maybe a couple controversial issues going on in the world. I guarantee you, you won't be disappointed. We do what we do, and we have fun. So when you listen to any program, whether it is The Master Plan, FSP Crew Show, or Fantasy Sports and Politics, you're informed and you're entertained. All right? Well, I'm your host, Mr. FSP, and you've been listening to The Master Plan. And he likes to play you out with a little music, so I'm going to hit you up with a little bit more music on the way out. Have a good day. Enjoy your Sunday. I'm out.